Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. In this program, we focus on coach education. We look in two places, here in the ACT and over in the USA. In the ACT, we have a candid peek at a Premier League club that took the whole FFA development thing into serious competition. By contrast, we listen to a fascinating discussion between several women's professional soccer league coaches, courtesy of Amanda van der Voort of Soccer Science, as they talk about the women's game in the USA, but with particular emphasis on coaching and becoming a coach. We need a lot more women football coaches in our game. But why coach education? Well, if you want to influence the game, influence the coaches. You could argue that you need to influence parents, but I'd suggest they come second. First, sort out the coaches. In the ACT region, capital football has, by comparison to past years, maybe decades, massively increased the number of people in our football community who have undertaken the current coaching courses and methods required to support the FFA's National Football Curriculum and National Football Development Plan. If you want to influence the game, influence the coaches. And we must do all we can to educate, support and mentor and sustain our football coaches. We need to keep them in the game, all of them, from the local under-9s through past the under-15 Div 3 all the way through to our Premier League teams. But coaches need access to training resources at every level of the game. To put it simply, they need to be able to go somewhere where they can dig into a library or repository of information, drills, videos and other training support resources that enable them to put together their training sessions in a way that is also consistent with the FFA's best practice. Now, we really don't have that, but clubs do have to get their head into this business. The FFA's S2S coaching support system, or perhaps the Football New South Wales solution they use in Project 22, which we've spoken of previously, the Global Football System, are just two resources that can be made available down to club-level coaches at remarkably little cost to the game, but for an enormous return to the game. I wonder why the FFA simply doesn't bankroll this and roll it out to every club coach everywhere in Australia that wants to use it. Small investment, massive return. Great way to influence coaches. Now, here in the ACT, Pat McCann has been at the forefront of coach education in the ACT region in his capacity as the game development manager in Capital Football. His work has made a real difference. High-performance squads and teams come and go, and sometimes the work sticks and sometimes it doesn't. But the more you can do for coaches, the more players across the board are positively influenced by the FFA's message. Now, Pat is the current head coach of the Waden Valley FC Men's Premier League team. In this capacity, Pat has brought all the new thinking into this club, which was desperately in need of change. The message he gives the young players mirrors the FFA's new directions, and it works. In a complementary fashion, the head coach of the Woden Valley Women's Premier League teams, Ed Hollis, takes exactly the same approach. One Premier League club, two parts, all with the same message, heading in the same direction, giving the young players the best chance of absorbing the FFA's directions and becoming more proficient as players. Now, given the young age of many players in the club, the focus is on the development as much as it is on winning. How can it be otherwise? The players benefit, not by a big payday. This is one club, like a number, that doesn't have the money to do that, but the payout is through development of their football talent in a club setting. Doesn't get any better. The second interview, as I've mentioned, is with a group of coaches who operate in the US Women's Professional Soccer League. Now, the US game for women is incredible, but probably just as fragile as it is here in Australia, And that's the point that these coaches make. Our system of development for women players is different to the USA, where it is underpinned by the fantastic women's college soccer programs. Some of our young female players are currently on sports scholarships to play in the US college soccer leagues. We have nothing like that in Australia. We listen to the following women's professional soccer league coaches talk about the game in a way that makes perfect sense to anyone following the game in Australia. Now, the sound quality is a bit wobbly at times. In the case of the interview with Pat McCann, I think the electronic zap was put on the interview whilst at Capital Football's offices, and the soccer science interview was done on Skype. But it's all good to go. I hope you find these interviews interesting. I certainly did. We never stop learning in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, coach education for me is the foundation upon game development. I think that there's a lot of answers that, that coach education comes up with and helps them.
Why the influence of that?
Absolutely, and the launch of the new community coaches here in Australia has been fantastic. I think the information being delivered is excellent. The method is second to none. Players are having a better experience because the coaching is better, they're more likely to stick around because they're playing football.
Absolutely.
And because if we give coaches far more information to deliver, then they enjoy delivering that information and they're more likely to stick around. So really one of the things we've identified as being a great weakness here is certainly not recruiting players. Coaching course essentially do is allows us to empower the coaches. So we're not shutting information down their throat and telling them you must coach this, you must coach this, and you must coach this. We're modeling sessions for them, we're giving them a coaching method, and we're empowering them to come up with the information themselves. So it's an entirely different approach. So we're trying to empower them to understand that, that it's not about opening a book and taking drills or exercises from a book. About identifying what objectives they need to come up with for their own very own team based upon what their own observations are, and delivering effective training sessions. And we show them a couple of different ways to do that, but we show them how flexible that is and with the method that we use to change and modify it. It empowers them to make their own decisions as they go. So I think what we find
coach education, I'd suggest probably one of the bedrocks of game development in every sense of the word.
Yeah, and it hasn't been a priority here, now it is, and I think we are guaranteed to see that.
Now, speaking of coaching, there's a question about notice. This year you coach Premier League level at Wayne Cove, and dare I say it, you coach 1-4-3-3 across the Premier League team of the Pathways. Now, I know you've got some views about that, and it certainly raised some eyebrows across the clubs, but it did something else. It ensured that the players started playing extraordinarily good style across two grades of football. players became far more mobile and understanding the requirements. That's enough for me. What do you reckon?
Yeah, listen, I'm lucky enough to have gone to a club that, Golden Valley, that's relatively ambitious but open to a lot of different things. So it enabled me to walk in and decide on a structure and deliver a playing style that had previously been no clear vision. So it was in taking the philosophy of 1-4-3-3, which is now which is what the FFA has decided is our best development structure, and take that into a club at a relatively high level and be able to deliver it in a number of different ways. The system has its strengths and its weaknesses, like any system does. What it allowed us to do was to give the players a clear understanding of what we wanted. As a result of that, because players were on the same page, they knew what each other were doing, I think that whilst it didn't give immediate results on league ladders and scores, if you had watched our team from round 1 to round 18, or our team from round 1 to 18, you would have really seen the benefits of that clearer understanding of the players. And so, essentially we tinkered with the system. Just a variation of some of the understanding, some of the misunderstandings surrounding systems and styles of play.
Such a pain at the start.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably in hindsight, Pim Verbeek would tell you the same thing. Perhaps you shouldn't do that because you sort of you give yourself a label and have a bit of misunderstanding of the style of just systems and label instructions. Certainly, 1-4-3-3 right now comes with that sort of connotation. And the reality is, it's a highly flexible way of playing with a lot of different variations.
Well, I noticed it certainly challenged some coaches in opposition. The first and most obvious observation they made were that the three at the front were very wide and scratching their head and getting aggressively worried about what they did have to do with the wide player. That's where the defensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a very attacking. It's an attacking system of play that's done correctly is really effective. It made the teams, particularly in the local league, very uncomfortable because week in week out they come up against
teams that
play very wide because it's a good time to play. That also like to push back forward. So essentially, what it allows us to do is to create.
In and out of conversations with coaches on the sidelines, men's athletes around the world. Do you, if you've got, for example, if you've obviously got four grades in Premier League, you can't be paid up, but the four coaches walk away with their players draft time and go and do their own thing, or do you train them to isolate them out of Premier League and pathways? Usually when you see players in 80%, not that it shouldn't come out elsewhere, but what is trained them as a squad. Now, I know Wayne Valley trained them as a squad, and I know one or two others head in that direction. But I'll stop there. What's your opinion?
Listen, I think the system in Canberra especially is built to push you in a logical, consistent direction. There's a reason that the club's criteria is to produce a 16s, 18s pathways first grade team. That is to provide a much stronger structure. So automatically, a structure I'm starting 4/17-year-olds, and I'm hoping that my under 16 coach is in the same situation that I am. So there's a bit of work for me to do to work with the rest of the coaching staff so that we are delivering similar information and similar structures so that the players understand what their problems are. So if called upon, and they will be called upon, to move up through the existing structures, that is 16-18 pathways, first grade, the information is all not new. We're already ahead of the game. So the structure exists for it to be delivered, and I think any club that's smart, that wants an intelligent approach, would have a consistent approach across all four teams. And saying that, there's a lot of challenges that exist in managing staff, in managing expectations, in managing players.
You don't get the full results.
No,
you've got to play the longer game.
No, absolutely. And one thing when I originally sat down with Work Value was, this was at a minimum a 3-year plan. It wasn't going to happen overnight. Certainly, there was quite a bit of pressure in the first half of last season that we weren't getting results out of the system that we put in. And I had to be pretty clear with the club to say, well, this is the system that I have decided to put in. Subsequently, I was probably pretty great in improved performances in first grade and in our goals and results pathway. So, whether that's luck or good management, I'm not sure. Perhaps it's just a show. It's a longer term vision, not just a week in, week out, or a single
division. Well, certainly, I thought the squad approach across those two senior teams was a market change in the previous season and fast-tracked a lot of the change. And the season isn't a whole bunch of time, really, and of course, if you're planning on trying to win something at some point in the future. But the other side of that is to, having seen the card and up the cake, and, coaches and teams within the Premier League structure, sitting there hard and padding, doing whatever they're doing without any reference to any other part of the progression of the players or the club, just seems to me to be a monumental waste of time and effort. That's not fair. We weren't maximising the ability of those young players and our ability to succeed.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it essentially comes down to the individual players. Listen, I'm a footballer, I'm a player, and I think it's only fair to consistently deliver them information so that they can most appropriately behave in games towards expectations. We don't tell them what we want them to do. How are they supposed to deliver in games when they move up? So if it's not one way, and if we continue like this, and they are delivering different ways of playing, certainly, but in the club structure we have an opportunity to deliver something consistent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I thought it was interesting in the way that Valley Women's Football Club trained exactly the same way. And their coach, Ed Hollis, pretty much speaks the same outcome. It's a process that works. There's much to be gained by casual and casual, some of it is volume. The Premier League, you want to be but because of the age of the players coming through, 6 to 8, you've got to develop. If you don't have an eye to develop, you're not going to unless you get a load of money.
Yeah, certainly there is two approaches in local football, and this happens across Australia, and it's no different here.
Yeah.
There's clubs that develop players, there's clubs that week in, week out find ways to improve themselves to hopefully attract players because of the environment they're creating.
Yeah.
And there's clubs that are quite happy to purchase new ways to really use these things to choose to support. That's the way of the world, that's okay. Situation, like I don't speak for ourselves at Work Value, we don't have by the best place, but we do have the resources to get our coaches the best education, to spend some time with our coaches to get them to understand the information we want them to deliver, and to support them in that too. So we want to create a club structure where everyone has some common understanding, but there's some benchmarks that everyone knows we're trying to achieve. Some of those are surrounding winning, some of those are surrounding a certain style of play. I think one of the best things for me, or perhaps the best thing for me, was watching our Pathways team in the grand final, and it wasn't that they won the game, it was the style in which they won the game and the type of football that was played, and the ability of the group of players in 6 months took something that was relatively strange to them and took on the board and was very successful.
It certainly works, and it fits neatly with the football development, FFA's football development model. As much as you can reasonably integrate into a Premier League win scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the development model is the FFA is great. It's built around probably not Premier League clubs, but around a philosophy that develops young players.
Yeah.
What we've done essentially is taken that philosophy, tweaked it a little bit within the club environment, and set up and see if this works. And listen, it's a consistent, it's a common sense, it's a well thought out, it's an intelligent approach, and it's proving for us right now.
Season training starts in about the second week of January. I hope everyone enjoys the break.
Yeah, well,
you ready for the next week?
We'll get a bit of a rest and then we're straight back into it. I think the next is that it's not a good experience, and that's okay.
Fantastic. Well, I'll see you in training, Pat.
Thanks, Peter.
Now we go on to the interview with the Women's Professional Soccer League.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.
Every day I make my way through the streets of your town.